He did it! The greatest night in the history of Chelsea Football Club.
Dennis Bergkamp! Dennis Bergkamp!
Occasion Mourinho on the pitch, followed by Wenger. And it's not often you see this serious an outbreak of disorder in such a big game.
Hello and welcome to Red and Blue, the Arsenal and Chelsea podcast based in Cape Town. My name is Andrew Kerr, I'm an Arsenal fan, and with me I have Nick Key,
Blue,
Jeremy Westwood,
Football,
and Richard Bolland.
Hey.
Cool guys, what's happening in general football news, Nick?
Well, what isn't happening?
Well, what isn't happening is a lot of rugby.
Yeah, there's been no rugby. It's just been, I don't know, like I'd like to say that's been a good thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
It has.
Sweet. So,
clear that up. Titus Bramble is not the captain of Arsenal.
That's
what? Also what hasn't been happening.
That hasn't happened, yeah.
Let's dedicate this entire podcast to things that haven't, that aren't true.
I
want to dedicate this podcast to Titus Bramble.
What does Titus Bramble mean to you, Bolly?
He means the world to me. I just used to love watching him play for Newcastle and just being an absolute moose.
Yeah. He was a moose. He is a moose.
Who does he play for these days?
I think he's retired.
I hope he's retired.
I think he is retired.
But I still think he's faster than per motorcycle.
So what has been happening, obviously, his Champions League has kicked off this week. The top four teams.
The Champions! The Champions!
So we obviously had to pay royalty fees to get that.
Yeah.
That actually
cost
track.
Us a lot.
Yeah.
That's why this episode is going to be short.
Yeah. So we picked up the Champions League. Chelsea in action, Arsenal, Liverpool, and Man City. No Man United this year.
Sure.
Big one.
Fantastic.
Wow.
I didn't watch the Chelsea game, but I saw the result. Was it a
They had an fair... absolute shocker.
I love that you come up with these things. Yeah. Like last time was what? The Falcon or something. Or the, yeah.
This was on the spot, so let's keep it going.
Oh, okay, one, good.
Was it a true reflection of the game?
I don't think it was, actually. If you watch the game, we had so... It's one of those games where we probably had... we had what? I think 13 shots on goal from inside the area. There was like goal line clearances off the head.
Wow.
Fabregas is back in the mix.
But that was weird because he actually fouled the guy pretty hectically. Like, and very obvious foul. Got the ball and then scored.
Wow.
So
the return, he got fouled.
He got fouled,
got the ball,
and then they got the ball and
then
scored.
They scored. So it evened out.
It cancels itself out. But
karma.
We got hit with a bit of a bout with the Torreses, I think.
Yeah, goodness me. But everybody also didn't
His
understand.
His ghost is haunting.
They started, I think it might have been a bit of sentimentalism.
Sentimentality.
But sentimentalism from Mourinho. But starting Drogba.
Oh.
Remy. Above Remy. Remy's shown that he's pretty class. Drogba... I mean, he said after the game he's like a diesel engine. He takes a bit of time to warm up, and it's still fairly early days in the.
Did you see
that
Torres scored in his opening game for his new club?
Really? Really? Yeah. What was that on the weekend?
Yeah.
Jeez, there's been no talk about that on the Chelsea
no
blog.
Mentioned
no
it.
One wants to talk about
it. We've forgotten. Wiped it from our memory.
I would like to point out. I would like to point out that the Italian league is probably, and this isn't us trying to save face. They are about a third as good defensively as the Premier League. So. If there was ever a league he was probably going to excel in, it might be that one.
Mm.
But, I mean, also, we'll wait to see if this continues. If it does, well, sucks for us, but all credit to him, I guess. So starting Drogba up front, probably not the best idea. We brought on Costa and Remy in the second half. And
right near the end.
Definitely did seem to, like, up the level. I mean, Remy almost scored. That was that header off the line was off of Remy, off Remy's first shot. So we had the chances. Fabregas blew a great chance. Drogba blew an incredible chance about a yard out. You just didn't time the flick.
Mm.
So we had the chances. We just didn't put them away. It's kind of that old specter that we suffered in a lot last season, not being able to sort of bury a game sometimes.
So Liverpool also opened their Champions League kind of start for a long time. When was the last time Liverpool
6 years,
was
in? I think.
6 years. And they were horrid. I didn't even watch the game, and I know they were horrid. I just heard that there was this penalty at the end that apparently wasn't a penalty at all, and they played horribly, and so they don't deserve to be where they are.
That's true. Yeah, I'm not so sure. I mean, also, they're probably playing arguably the worst team.
I've never heard
the
of
Champions
that team
League.
Before in my life.
Ludogorets Radvarsgrand. So, I don't know. Yeah, to scrape a 2-1 victory at the death. I mean, we should have beaten Schalke, but they're still at least an established name in the Champions League. They've been around for a couple of years, you know. This team, I don't know. I mean, you never quite know. It's the first week of Champions League. They've also haven't been in it for a while. They've got a lot of players who haven't been in the Champions League before, so I think those kind of nerves can often play a part. So we'll see how they go on the rest of it, but yeah, terrible start for them. But we still are winning. The only winning team, only English team that won, actually.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of which, I managed to watch the Bayern Munich Man City game.
We all watched it together.
What?
We all watched it together.
No, we didn't. Oh, you all watched it together.
No, I was at your house.
No, you weren't. Bayern Munich. Man City.
Oh, sorry. In my head, I assumed you'd talk about Arsenal.
No,
I didn't listen to the words that came out of your mouth.
Yeah, thanks. So, that was a very interesting game, partly because Arsenal's just played Man City recently.
Yeah. And we're playing them this weekend.
Yeah, and it was a really tight game, although I would say that Munich did have the upper hand.
Mm.
I didn't time it, but it took about maybe 2 minutes when Robin came on the field for him to fall over in the box.
Yeah,
really?
Which was really annoying. Boateng was looking really strong. It was quite interesting because, you know, I expected Munich to do really well, and they were stronger than City, but not like that much. You know, I expected them to seriously put them to bed, but anyway.
Well, City are a good team. I mean, they are a strong side.
Yeah, but the thing is that we drew to them. I know it was at home, but yeah. I mean, I was surprised, to be honest, that we drew to them. And then that they lost to Munich just 1-0 right at the end. Yeah. Literally right at the end. It was a bit of a surprise.
Yeah. No, oftentimes you can't explain those kind of things, you know. So for all intents and purposes, we played them this weekend, we could lose 5-0 to them, you know. Yeah.
Were they playing in Munich or were they playing in...
In
Manchester.
Yeah, in Munich. So it was good. It was good for, you know, anyone who doesn't like Man City that they, you know,
but it's not much better than it's Munich, you know, because I don't really like them either.
Well, I prefer them to City.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's good.
All right. So obviously we've seen, I think, the best start to a season that Chelsea have had for a very long time. Mm. Specifically led by Costa.
With a name like Costa, you don't expect him to do anything.
You expect him to be worse. But
my favourite stat at the moment is that Costa has 7 goals, Arsenal have 6 points.
Yeah, more goals than you have points. Brilliant.
Great.
But
I think we have 7 now after the draw.
Do you?
Yeah. No? Yeah, I think we do.
I don't know.
I'll
check anyway, irrespective. I was so proud of myself that I worked out a cool stat and then literally saw every blog online quoting the same stat. I was like, oh man, I thought it was so great. That Costa is scoring in a Fibonacci sequence.
So, he not only worries about football, he also worries about educating children.
That's the thing. He cares about the education of young Spanish kids and kids around the world. So the Fibonacci sequence says that the next number is the sum of the two numbers preceding it. So he scored 1, and then he scored 1, because, so it was 1 and 0, so he got 1 in for the second one. Then 1 plus 1 is 2, so he scored 2 in his third game. And 2 plus 1 is 3, and he scored 3 in his fourth game. So technically against City, he has to score 5 to keep up the sequence.
Well, I hope he does.
I think it will. I don't think.
Because I want to see it in the fourth game.
But I think, so Chelsea's start has been very much down to him with 7 goals and down to Fabregas with 6 assists already in just 4 games.
Inspired signings.
I know. And it's so good to see Fabregas finally flourishing in the Premier League. So, I mean, this is going to be a season-long banter. What is it like for you guys? Because, I mean, he used to play for you. Is it not frustrating? It's the same for us. I mean, I can't imagine. We're playing City this weekend to see Lampard start against us for City.
Yeah, that could be weird.
Yeah, like, if Lampard starts, yes, it'll be a bit bleak, but also, he's not that great.
Yeah, also, last weekend he was pretty terrible, and if they're going to play him ahead of Tour...
I love this. Literally, if he was Chelsea, he would be the best player in the world. Like, oh my God, Lampy, like, he's scored so many goals, he's so many club, like, so many starts to our club and everything like that, and now suddenly he's going, he's not that good. he's average.
I don't think that's true. No. He's still a club legend.
But I would still
last season we were a bit dodgy. That's the thing. How much to play him. So
that's the thing, is he quality wise he has dipped. That's the very reason why we didn't re-sign him. And it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. You know how I feel about Lampard. The only man on earth I would open mouth kiss.
It's like it's like dating someone, right? And you just can't stop talking about them. Everything they do is magic. Then they break up and suddenly they're the biggest like
the worst
idiot, worst person, hated everything they used to do and everything like that.
Okay, so you tell me as a neutral, if you were starting against City, which you did last weekend, and they start Lampard ahead of Toure, would that not be, for club, purely footballing reasons, is that not something that you would be stoked about?
Well, absolutely. I think, Yaya is just so much better.
Yeah,
I think than Lampard, and so maybe I think they're resting here, yeah, because he's getting into.
Because they had Munich, and then they got us this week. Yeah. So I mean, three big games, and
but apparently didn't even feature much in Munich game. Like really? He isn't really up to form yet.
Yeah, well, hopefully Matic will destroy him this
week. Yeah, I mean, he did last season. Like, so.
But to answer your question about whether or not we bleed to see Farias, we are definitely, but when I first started watching Arsenal, I had the privilege of seeing Fabregas in his absolute dream squad and dream team. And it was amazing. But there was little comparison to Fabregas in terms of the midfield. Like, he was the star above the rest.
Mm.
Now, with the likes of Ramsey and Ozil and Sanchez and even Cazorla, you know, they each have their own ability that I don't think Fabregas could really... I don't think he would stand out in the Arsenal squad now, just because we've met his caliber with new signings, etc. And so, we are bleak to see him play for Chelsea and do so well. But like Wenger said, I don't think we don't need him in the Arsenal squad.
Mm.
And even though Ramsey's taking a dip in form, Ozil's got a dip in form. Like, I'm confident that those players will be back in action soon.
Mm.
And then we won't really care about Fabregas anymore.
Fair enough. I think that he is. Yeah, I think there's a reason why you didn't. I mean, you had first option on him. You didn't buy him. You had enough players that are definitely quality. I don't think Fabregas would have gone amiss in your squad, but I also think he might not have added as much. We needed his type of player desperately. We needed a creative midfielder. You guys, well, not a creative midfielder. We needed a creative central midfielder. Yeah. I think. Because we had so many wingers and attacking mids, but I think you guys have got that area pretty covered. So,
and if we signed him, it would mean that probably, because Cazorla's already kind of starting on the bench.
Yeah,
it would have meant that probably Jack or, God forbid, Ramsey would have to start on the bench. You know,
because Cazorla's isn't he a winger primarily?
He prefers in the midfield, but we don't actually have, besides for Theo, we don't have anywhere.
I do find that strange. Yeah.
He's also
midfield.
Preferred really? To be yeah.
That Wenger's having to push everyone out to the, Ozil having to play Ozil's on the left wing. And last season he played right wing, which is bizarre when his best position is in the middle.
Yeah.
I really don't understand what Wenger's.
Because Ramsey can't play in the wing, and Arteta certainly can't play in the wing.
No.
And so, he's forced to play Ozil out left. Sure. We actually have too many central mids.
That's the complete opposite problem that we have. We've got too many wingers, not enough central midfielders. We should just swap some.
Yeah.
Just do it like a loan trade.
Who would you take?
Yeah, you guys have Moses.
Who would you take and who would you give?
I would take Ox.
Yeah.
And I would give Salah.
Thank you.
I'm trying to think of your best player and our worst player. I mean, obviously that would be... Who would you swap for?
So you would take the Ox.
I mean, he's a great centre midfielder.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, he hardly starts.
Yeah, but I mean, I think he's got the highest... see, that's the thing is, I think that Ox, that I've seen lately, Ox has seemed to play at a higher level.
Yeah.
And he's got a higher ceiling, in my opinion.
Yeah, we'll get onto him when we talk about Arsenal. Yeah. But...
Okay, well then go for it.
Okay, well, so the Ox. he is such a high-impact player when he comes on from the bench. And I think, in our terrible... Dortmund game, which actually the scoreline was probably a good reflection on how we played.
Yeah, it could have been worse.
I think it should have been worse. Mm. But the only glimmer of hope was when he came on and he actually, was the driving force, was the energy. He made that fantastic defensive block, which should have been a third goal.
Yeah.
So he was not only driving us forward, but he was defending really well as well.
Yeah, I mean, normally Rizicky also plays in that role, kind of a boost from the bench.
Geez, I haven't seen that guy play.
He hasn't played in. Yeah,
and like, I think with Rizicky's Champions League history, I think Wenger should consider him soon.
It's ahead of who?
Well, man,
not ahead of anyone. Just on like coming off the bench.
As a 12th player.
I think it was so good for Wenger to kind of take Ramsey and Ozil off. And if anything, I think they should have done it sooner because they just weren't in the game at all. I mean, Jack played quite well again, I thought.
Jack is having a real run of form. I mean, he's really showing what he's all about, which is very exciting. He's putting in good performances.
The other funny thing that I saw was what the rest were wearing.
Oh, yeah. Looked like chinos without the knees.
Exactly. Yeah. It was crazy. Like, I think in American football, they the refs kind of dress up like in chinos and black shoes. Yeah,
they look like they've just come from like a 1920s prison as well. Yeah. But
chinos without the knees, although it's called knee nose.
Oh. I like it.
But on a serious note.
Yeah.
That's not a serious note. Another funny story about refs is the refs for the Chelsea game lost their passports.
Yes.
What?
Did you hear about this?
They couldn't find their passports, so they couldn't come and ref. So they actually get a replacement ref from the Europa League.
Yeah. They had to call up a team from that was supposed to be refing a Europa League match on Thursday. Because they were Serbians, I think. And they just, they got their visas to come into England, whatever, and they completely all lost their passports. Sounds like a scam to me.
It does sound like a little bit of a...
I think the ref...
Oh, and then all of a sudden we draw, cool. Yeah, Seb Blatter. Michel Platini.
I think in other Arsenal news, the City game was I think a fair reflection of the game. I think both teams played really well. I used to love, I think it was three seasons ago, there were about eight games, I think, in the entire Arsenal season that we went down and then came back to win. And I really thought that we would do this as well.
Mm.
But it's good to see that type of Arsenal coming back where we go down and we don't you know give up.
Yeah,
we fight back. Mm. And I think especially against a big club like City,
against Everton as well.
Mm.
Yeah, no, we're doing a lot this season.
Yeah, and Jack had also a game of his life there again where. That little dink forward. Yeah. I don't know if you remember that. And then the chip to finish it off was just superb.
And Sanchez, that volley from just outside the wall.
He made it look easy.
He made it look so easy, and it was really, really tough shot.
Yeah.
He's showing more and more class, which is great. Unfortunately, Welbeck is, I think, taking a little bit longer to fit in. I mean, he missed a few chances at Dortmund.
Yeah, he missed a great chance at Dortmund.
Yeah. It was a bit of a curse of Sinago on him.
The Sinago wobbles.
Yeah, but I'm absolutely gutted about Debuchy. Like, I think...
Oh, man. What happened to Debuchy?
No, he's injured.
Out for 2 months. What? It was a really, really sprained ankle.
I heard about that, actually.
But he, if you look at like the heat maps of the City game, and you look at the player impact, or something like that. He was up there as one of the biggest impacts in the game because I think because he's so attacking minded. He's attacking minded fullback. He really does create that overlap option like each time.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful to see.
Knowing that he was injured and then watching City play Munich and watching Sanya play most of the game, I was so bleak. Like, just seeing him play and knowing that we don't have similar player in Debuchy.
Or watching Sanya play for
Sanya
City.
Sanya play for City, yeah. Mm. It was tough. He played really well, yeah, I thought so.
So, would you guys say, because I've got something to say, would you guys say that you guys are happy with the fullbacks you've got this season?
No. I think with Chambers playing right back at Southampton, he would have played over Bellerin on Tuesday if he didn't have tonsillitis.
Tonsillitis like a child.
Yeah. So I think
he's got chicken pox.
It wouldn't have changed the game, but I do think we
might have given some other people tonsillitis.
We're at our bare minimum when it comes to our fullbacks, and yes, obviously we do need to sign maybe even some free agents, because I don't think we're going to last until the end of December, you know. But I think we're okay for now. I say our best you know, the four best players at the back for us would be now Chambers right back, obviously Per and Koshes, and then I would obviously I think have Gibbs over Monreal. But those would be, I think, our starting four at the back.
Okay, so this is my point, is that that's basically all we have. Apart from that, we have Monreal and Bellerin, who's 19 and super fresh. And then the other person who maybe can fill in as a defender is Flamini. And we all know how that goes. Instant red.
Instant red penalty.
So, I don't know. I don't think we're looking that strong at the back. And for some reason, Arsenal seems to be incredibly injury-prone this season.
Every season.
Yeah, well, this season more than most, because we've had them all right up front. I mean, Giroud's out. Gibbs has already been injured.
Debuchy.
The list goes on. Debuchy, yeah, exactly.
I mean, sorry, go for it.
I was going to say, I've got a bit of an out there theory.
Yeah.
Okay. So no go.
Yeah.
So bad at scoring goals.
Yeah.
Maybe we're better in defense.
Oh yeah. Not bad.
That is a really interesting idea. But
no way.
It's been shot down.
I just think maybe he's you know, the opposite of a goal magnet.
Yeah.
Just pushes the ball away from the goal always. You put him in defense.
It's worth a try.
It really would be worth a try.
I like it.
But I think I would say we're in a similar situation with the. I don't feel like we've got a particularly solid back line this season. We're leaking goals.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there hasn't been a game that I can remember that we haven't. I mean, besides, did we concede in the first game? I can't even remember. I think we've conceded in every game so far.
I think we conceded against Leicester.
Yeah.
But yeah. I think it's because Matic hasn't been on form and he hasn't been shielding the back line as much, which has kind of showed up Terry a bit on his pace.
We've been playing like a high press this season, and Terry, that implies that you need pace. And Terry, he's great positioning, shocking with pace. And I think it worked for a season playing Azpilicueta at left back. And I think he's kind of getting to a stage where he maybe is realizing, I don't know, like, I'm not really a left back. Do you know what I mean? But there's this whole sort of movement now of, you know, trying to play the diagonal balls in against defenders so that they're wrong-footed, so that you're playing them in on their inside foot as opposed, you know, so if you're right back and you're right-footed, left back, left-footed, they play the diagonal ball towards you, onto your right foot, your weak foot. So there's almost like a sense that Mourinho might be trying to play him at left back so that he's stronger on his right foot anyway, so when those diagonal balls come in. And I mean, to be fair, I would say from what I've seen and from, you know, I've heard it said as well by other people that he is probably the best man-to-man marker in the Premier League at the moment.
Azpilicueta.
Yeah. Hardly anyone gets past him. He's quick. He's great positional awareness. He's great tackling. So I just can't imagine how much better he'd be at right back. But I don't think Felipe Luis is as good as him potentially at left back yet. And Ivanovic is incredible at right back this season. He's scoring for fun. He's assisting for fun. I mean, maybe to the detriment of his defensive duties, but he's become like this Brazilian wing back now. It's weird.
That's what we need. We need a hardy Russian. We don't need these flipping weak Germans who don't actually do anything.
We need Arshavin to come back. Is Arshavin still in the squad? No, I think we saw him.
No, you got rid of him finally.
I loved Arshavin. Rizitsky and Arshavin have a similar hold in my mind. They were just like amazing, like a little kind of.
They were like, because you guys bought them directly after the last or two World Cups ago, almost, isn't it? Or something like that. So I remember when you signed Arshavin, he just had a stinker for flipping Russia, and Rizitsky as well had played so well in that World Cup. I remember thinking, oh my gosh, this guy is going to tear the league apart. Didn't quite live up to it. I mean, he was great.
Yeah.
But
we'll never forget that Arshavin goal against Barcelona I think it was to draw 2-2 or
something.
Yeah. It was insane.
So in Stats Corner this week, we are talking about corners.
Hey.
That was not intentional at all.
But worked out so well.
So in the Chelsea-Schalke game, Chelsea got a corner and the ref made a comment that 90% of corners aren't scored. Mm. And I heard that and I thought, that doesn't sound quite right. I'm sure it's less than that.
Yeah.
So I went to the stats, of course. And I looked it up. Last season, there were 4,093 corners in total.
Wow.
Across the league.
In the Premier League?
Yeah.
Okay.
How many goals do you think that resulted in?
4,093. 13. No. I'm going to say 50.
Okay, it's higher than that.
Okay.
Let's go 100.
Yeah,
118. Wow.
Goals, which is
still pretty low. That's terrible.
So that means 2.88%.
2%? Just under 3%. Wow.
Why
did we even bother?
And in 08-09, it was as low as 1.4%. Wow. So you've got basically, you know, a 96-97% chance of not scoring.
So what is the point then?
And does that include people who take short corners and then go on to score from a short corner?
I don't think so. I think this only includes direct. You shoot it and it goes in the next shot or two. And I was also reading a chapter out of a book I've got, which was talking of a similar thing about whether you better when it goes off for the corner or for the throw-in. And they were suggesting it's actually better if the ball goes off a throw-in than a corner, because you've got more chance of scoring from the throw-in. But they didn't actually produce any stats to show that.
But that's so surprising, because there's always a sense of like, ooh, we've got a corner. That's a really big attacking opportunity. Yeah. Or when a corner gets scored, like you get a corner against you, you're like, oh my gosh, this could be something. But those stats are particularly low.
But what does make it maybe a bit more interesting is that because there are so many corners, it does increase your percentage of actually getting a goal from it, even though it's quite a low percentage.
Yes.
And some teams are obviously better. So, for example, Liverpool scored 5.4% of their corners, whereas Tottenham only scored 0.9%. and some teams, actually, even though they don't score very many from corners, they actually it is a huge percentage of their goals. For example, last season, Fulham scored 10 goals from corners, converting at 5.2% of their corners, which was actually a quarter of their goals.
Wow.
So even though it's a low percentage, it can actually help you out, which I thought was quite interesting.
Yeah, that is. I mean, if you think about it, probably our Chelsea's most significant goal ever scored has been off a corner, was that Drogba header in the Champions League final in the 88th minute. That was direct from a corner. So, yeah, I mean, you never know, like, whether it's going to be something that could change the history of your club or just be... I always think whenever you see guys take short corners, I'm like, oh, such a wasted opportunity. Just put the ball in the box. You're gonna, you know, you're bound to score probably 10 times more. But maybe that's not true.
Probably not, yeah.
But I mean, what's interesting is what you said about the smaller clubs doing better off corners. And I mean, that's probably just because... you know, you can practice a corner, but often they might not be able to get into the box or get into those shooting areas. But you know, you can get the ball out for a corner much more easily than that. So that's cool.
That's a good point.
Something that might be quite interesting is that how many counter attacks lead on to goal scoring opportunities from the opposition's
corner.
When
you turn the opposition in your own half, and then
because that's exactly what happened when it was. I think it was the first City goal. It came from we had a corner, which I think Sanchez almost scored, and then they got the ball broke and then scored their first goal.
Yeah,
and so, how many you concede from corners in your own half?
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. So get on that for next week for James Stats corner. I've got two quick interesting facts that are about football goalkeepers, whatever. Both having to do with the crossbar. I mentioned a while back in my we gave those lectures and you had to try and pick up. So I mentioned a guy called Fatty Falks, and he was quite a fatty. I mean, they gave him the name for a reason. And I was watching some old videos of him, and he used to when corners happened, he used to hang from the crossbar when they were still wooden frames to make the frame of the goal smaller. So that would be less goal to aim at. You just hang from it and just bend it in this huge U shape. And there's another guy called Lee Roos. He used to, whenever there was a corner, he used to climb up onto the crossbar and jump off the crossbar to save the corner. I'm assuming it's become illegal since then.
Yeah.
But what a ridiculous thing.
Is there anything against putting all 11 players in the goal?
Parking the bus.
No, literally in the goalpost. Like,
I don't think there's anything against it. I just think that
you're probably still likely to score.
Yeah, assuming there's a reason why they don't do that.
I think because they can shoot high into the goal. It's difficult for people to say without their hands.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I would love to see that happen though in the Premier League. Like a throwaway game where the league's been decided and it's the last game and it's like you up 5-0 or something like that. You know, I think they should resort to that. As they last played, and obviously gets a corner, and they decide to get everyone on the line.
Yeah, they should write in the Premier League law. You have to do something ridiculous if the game isn't in doubt.
It is time for...
The quiz!
The first question, this is going to be a short quiz. When was the Premier League founded?
1992.
Wow, that was quick. Well done. Nick has 1 point. You knew that. Do you know the day?
Is it not 3 points for a win?
4th of January.
No.
It would have been in, well, it would have really been in August.
Oh, yeah. July.
It was the 20th of Feb.
I suppose founded rather than when it did a kickoff.
Yeah. How many Premier League titles did David Beckham win at Manchester United?
Three.
No.
Two.
Two, false.
Four.
False, it was more. It was six.
Jeez. Oh, wow. I guess he was quite there. He was there for a while.
Yeah.
Wasn't he the class of 92?
Did From he finish that school?
Yeah,
he probably was, yeah.
I think he was part of that whole Man United 92 thing. Giggsy and Scholesy and Buttface. Bexy. And yeah.
Well, let's move on to some famous players. Which of these players has scored the most goals for England, for the England national team? Which of these players?
Okay.
Michael Owen, Rooney, Shearer, or Bobby Charlton?
Nick. Shearer.
Nick. Oh, damn it.
Bobby Charlton.
Well, Nick said his name first.
He didn't score any goals for England.
Yeah. I scored zero. I was going to say the same as Paul. I was going to say Shearer.
False.
Really?
Yeah.
Bobby Charlton.
Is the right answer.
That's what I called it.
Did you call
it? I said Bobby Charlton.
Yeah. I give it to Jim.
I'm desperate for a point.
Do you know how many it was?
70.
No, it was less. 49.
I said 49.
49.
Oh, I was going to say
Do you know who's second?
Lampard.
No, Gary Lineker.
Gary Lineker.
Yeah. And the final question is, which year did Arsene Wenger start managing Arsenal?
92.
No.
98.
No,
wait. We can work this out.
I think it was... Okay.
Because didn't he just have his 20...
Now you have your bounding.
It was okay.
94.
Yeah. it was, I think, between 92 and 98.
No. Basically the one you haven't chosen yet, 96. So we have a tie of Jeremy on 1 point and Nick on 1 point. And Arsenal yet again flailing behind. Much like the weekend, we lost 2-0. Well, that's the final whistle. Thank you guys for being here.
Man, who brings that whistle?
I don't know, but I'm glad that they do. And you can check us out on Podomatic. redandblue.podomatic.com and you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. And if you feel led, you can review and rate us. Only 5-star reviews will be accepted.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
please do that.
We'll name and shame you
on
the podcast if you give us less.
Yeah, we don't mind doing that. And we'll see you next week.
We will do that.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.